Oh, hello, and welcome to Al Dente Rigmortis. I'm Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the Sensor Evil.
And I'm Ted the Gamer.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. Tonight we have the third installment of the Deepwood Trilogy, The Death of Deepwood, Pennsylvania. So, The Death of Deepwood is, of course, by the Dalek Emperor, or C.K. Walker. You can check it out at Reddit No Sleep. I believe you can also check it out at C.K. Walker's own website. If you look up, like the Lost Town of Deepwood or Return to Deepwood or The Death of Deepwood on Google, there might be a link to C.K. Walker's, own, official, story website.
There might be, or there is.
I'm pretty sure, when I found this, I found it through, Reddit, but I didn't find it. But then when I've gone looking for it again over and over again, I've used Google, and it's popped up with a couple of other search options. So, we read it all on Reddit, No Sleep. So, that's where we're coming in from this. So, before we get too far ahead ourselves, let's do our initial recommendations. I'm going to partially recommend this one.
I am also going to partially recommend this one.
Ditto. Is my favorite Pokemon. But for the story, I'll partially recommend this one.
Nice. I mean, Ditto is really cool and also kind of creepy in a thing sort of way. No. Yes. So I approve. let's dive into the rundown and find out exactly why we gave those initial recommendations. So Caitlin's plan to break into the museum and make the statue of Metaraxis, the demon, move went about as well as you'd expect.
Yeah.
It moved, dangerously so, and Bannock, Jameson Scott's angry bodyguard, arrived on the scene as she tried to escape. She being Caitlin, not the demon.
I know that.
I mean, that's fair, yeah. We don't know the gender of Metaraxis.
No.
Bannock drags Caitlin away from that room, and it is revealed that he is Jamie? Dun, dun, dun!
My God.
That
horse beating went nowhere.
Yeah, it was all red herring, folks. Mm-hmm. But that's when Jameson and his other henchmen arrive on the scene and shoot Jamie, revealing his diabolical plans. Jameson Scott was originally an aging tech mogul, well into his 80s, and fearing death, sought out a way to extend his life so that he could continue to help, in quotes, advance human technology into the cyber age. About 6 years ago, he discovered the demon and has been using it since to gain eternal youth in exchange for sacrifices Metaraxis requires. And now Katie's name is up. Katie and Jamie are put in the same room as the demon statue once again, with the wards placed on the walls of the room instead of the statue pedestal. While waiting for the demon to wake, Katie and Jamie catch up a little. Turns out Jamie managed to survive the vanishing of Middleborough and a whole bunch of other small towns and has spent the last 13 years keeping an eye on the demon statue, becoming a local police officer for various towns and wherever this demon popped up in, and then joining Mr. Scott's group eventually when he got a hold of the statue and tried to lead them away from Katie, who ultimately walked right into their hands anyway, so it was all for naught. On top of this, Jamie learned the proper wards to keep the demon at bay, at least for a little bit, though these wards have to be specifically blessed in a very very specific way. It has to be blessed by the second son of a Roman Catholic, I think, of a priest from Assisi, Italy. Don't ask. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. They have to be blessed. I'm going to write down a note.
Oh, I know. There's yeah. And yeah, something like, hang on. Yeah, it's very specific, and don't ask Jamie about it. Like we don't have time for explanations as to how we found that out, but the reason why the demon hasn't grabbed them yet in this room is because apparently Jamie has made a very large, imperfect ward under the room where the statue is being kept. So it's like, it's not perfect, it's not blessed, but it's still going to slow down the demon a little bit. As the demon begins waking up, the two manage to escape and flee, getting into Jamie's car, and while being tailed by Jameson, get to the church in the woods in Deepwood, where this all started. Here, Jamie had a plan. They were going to lure the demon back into the cellar with Katie as bait. The demon, using its crazy weird powers, appears into the cellar as they descend down into it, but managed to get back out as Jameson and his goons arrive. The stairs down to the cellar are destroyed, but Jamie gets taken hostage by Jameson, and Katie is forced to jump back into the hole. However, Jamie pushes himself and Jameson down into the hole first, and Katie rushes to grab Jamie, who's hanging on the edge of the trap door. The henchmen all scatter rather quickly, and the cellar door is closed with the demon and Jameson inside. And after a bunch of earth shaking and what seems like some kind of divine imprisonment of the church, or at least the trap door in the basement below, the duo managed to flee the scene and escape, leaving Metaraxis trapped yet again. 4 days later, Katie notes that all of Jameson's cool inventions and influence over the tech industry have vanished, signifying that he was finally eaten by the demon. The location of the trap door is concealed. Names of people, places, and even times were altered in this story by Katie, so no one could go looking for it. Now, Katie and Jamie go hunting for those people Jameson knew who might try to find Metaraxis again and use him for evil ends. And that is where we leave off the story of Deepwood. Finn. So, now with that all the way, we shall move on to Everyone Tolerates the Grand Inquisitions! At this point, I've got a handful. Yeah. gonna start with this one here. If the demon was as satisfied and successfully warded as Scott bragged it was, then the creature either wouldn't notice or wouldn't care about my presence. So the "then" there should probably be changed to "then." So, because right now it's THAN and it should be THEN. And on to my next one. My life was a black mark on its record, an insult, and I had gone into its lair and challenged. My life had been a black mark on its record, an insult, period. And I had gone into its lair and challenged, period. So I feel like those two sentences should be combined to one, like that center period should be a comma.
Mm-hmm.
But furthermore, I feel like there should maybe even be an "it" at the end of the sentence. So it's like, and I had gone into its lair and challenged it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
I then, agree.
Excellent. we have an accord. I'll move on to the next one.
Ford Fiesta.
Moving on.
makes the accord. Honda, right. It's a Honda. Honda.
He kept me pinned there. His hold rigged, his eyes desperate, and little bit pissed off.
Did you say rigged?
Yeah, like rigid, rigid, whatever. Tomato. Yeah.
We almost got there.
Yeah. You say potato, I say potato. Jimmy, it's the same spelling on the teleprompter. But yeah, so,
for a minute, was that intentional?
What?
That joke.
I think so. Yes.
That was set up like that. It wasn't just.
I think it was kind of making a jab at the fact that Christopher Walken has a very interesting way of saying things.
Fair.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Okay. But yeah, moving on to the next thing I have here. So the reason why I did that sentence in the beginning with, so it just needs an A. So it's like his eyes desperate and a little bit pissed off. We're starting to see a little bit of signs of caveman speech throughout this story.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that one.
Yep. And then the next thing I have here is.
Actually, hang on.
Yep.
What's wrong with that one?
So the sentence as it is he kept me pinned there, his hold rigid, his eyes desperate and a little bit pissed off.
Oh my God, I read it over 5 times. I'm like, it says his eyes desperate and a little pissed off.
Yeah,
his eyes desperate and a little pissed off. What am I missing here?
It's literally missing the A that you keep adding in. You keep typo-easing. You're just so good at typo-easing.
That's my problem. It's a gift, but also a curse.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'll move on to the next thing I have here. I was a pro at drawing sigils by then, since I'd spent some much time at Deepwood, and sigils have to be perfect to work, so I tried to ward it. So honestly, this is just a simple mistake. I know it's dialogue, but fuck you. since I'd spent so much time, not some much time,
or some time,
but yeah, or yeah, since I'd spent some time, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'd accept either or, because as long as he'd spent a amount of time in Deepwood, mm-hmm. or at Deepwood, so yeah. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. And this is another dialogue, but I mean, we're getting some caveman speech here, so.
I would expect nothing less.
And that's why were you protecting him? Uh-huh. And I think it's supposed to be, and that's why you were protecting him. Just like the words were reversed.
Yeah, and then the next, definitely caveman speech.
And I mean, it is the author of Brasca, so. It's the birth of our encounter with caveman speech in creepypastas. So,
but I mean, I could see that also as being a flub in the characters talking, because there's like, because they want to say, and that's why you were protecting him, but why were you protecting him?
are you saying that it's the way character talks?
Quite possibly.
Is it all only dialogue that has caveman speech?
I think it might be.
Interesting. Interesting. Almost like it's intentional.
Maybe. Or maybe not.
Like, rubbing the back of their neck, like, yes, intentional.
Yes, they were flustered at the time. And also Katie's very awkward when she talks. Mm-hmm. Remember from the second episode or from the second part? Anyway. Nope. moving on to the next thing I have. He's became obsessed with you, and I damned sure wasn't going to let him find you. Caveman speech again.
That I actually found. Yeah. I somehow missed all of these other ones.
So this is how I would have fixed it. He's become obsessed with you, and I damned well wasn't going to let him find you.
Damned well?
Yeah, because like I'm damned well. I damned well wasn't going to let him find you. That's that to me. I've heard that before. Versus maybe. Like I damned sure wasn't going to. I've never like that one. It felt wrong to me. But
what felt more natural for me was, and I for damn sure wasn't going to let him find you.
Yeah, I'd also accept that. Mm-hmm.
Also, and I for damn sure. I didn't switch it to, like, I left it at became.
He's became obsessed with you?
he became obsessed with you, actually.
Okay, so that he became obsessed with you, or he's become obsessed with you.
Yes. Would have
either one. I think yours might be better because like it's past tense, but
perhaps.
But yeah. And the next one I have here. I heard them click, but when they fell to the floor, all I heard with the loud grinding of stone on stone again. All I heard was the loud grinding of stone on stone again.
Yep.
Then the next thing I have here, Jamie followed behind me and took the stairs down on shaky step at a time. One shaky step at a time. Moving on. Jamie followed behind me, flashlight in hand. What's wrong there? Oh, okay. So the reason I did this. Okay, so yeah, here's what it is. So this is because it's coupled with the previous sentence that I just talked about. So Jamie followed behind me and took the stairs down one shaky step at a time. Period. Jamie followed behind me, flashlight in hand. So it's weird that you repeated part of the previous story, the previous sentence.
The start of the previous one.
Yeah, so I feel it's like see spot run, so go spot go, like that kind of thing. It had that kind of like writing to me. So I feel like all that needs to be what needs to be fixed here is just include the flashlight bit, like at the end of this, at the end of the previous sentence. You don't need to have the Jamie fall behind me again, and just like so
because it'd be one shaky step at a time, flashlight in hand.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I know that's like Jamie followed behind me, flashlight head. What is wrong with the sentence? like future, like present me trying to grapple with like what the hell past me was trying to get at.
What I normally do is like I number all of my notes, and in parentheses after the number, I put what the hell this is about, just so I have a rough idea going in.
Usually, my notes help with that.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
And then we have this one here. I skid over to the side of the hole, tripping over the smaller statue on the way. Welcome to my tense talk. I kind of feel it should be I skidded over to the side of the hole, because at this point, like everything had been kind of past tense. And the whole like I skid over to the side of the hole like is kind of in present tense, mixed into a past tense situation. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And that was my tense talk. I'll move on to third last one I have. Jamie hoisted me up next to him and ran for the door as bit of the ceiling began to cave in. Well, thank God it's only a bit of the ceiling, not bits of the ceiling. So it's just,
32, 64.
Yeah.
What amount of bits? What generation of console are we talking about?
Yeah. So it's just like and ran to the door as bits of the ceiling began to cave in, or like I guess if you want to make that sound a little bit more like dramatic, it's like as sections of the ceiling began to cave in.
Yeah, or chunks.
Yeah,
bits is like very very nice. As,
yeah. And then the next one I have, the church came down in a butt of dust and splintered wood. I think this meant in a bout of dust and splintered wood, which
bit again.
So yeah, well, bout, uh-huh. B, so the sort, it's like used b-u-t-t is in the actual sentence. Bout, b-o-u-t, is described in according to dictionary.com and such, a moment of intense of an intense situation. So like about, but a space bout of something.
The church came down in a cloud of dust and splintered wood.
That would also be acceptable, yeah. And my last grammar inquisition. By the dawn of the fourth day, he and all his inventions abruptly disappeared from the world. So fourth is spelled wrong. It's F-O-R-T-H, and it should be F-O-U-R-T-H. Although it could also be fourth as in the number TH, like number four TH, since the number four was used in the previous sentence when it said like 4 days later, like he died, because by the dawn of the fourth day, he and all his inventions abruptly disappeared from the world. So, since it's already established the use of the numerical representation of four, you might as well follow through and have that in the next one too. So, but that is my grammar inquisition. So, Mikey, D stands for evil.
All right. Well, you've done a good job. So all that I have left is my conjunction junction.
All right.
And next stop, conjunction junction.
It was a sound I'd heard before in the soundtrack of my nightmares. So I had been right all along. The statue wasn't dormant. It was a hollow victory. Its mouth was open and almost imperceptibly growing wider by the second. It happened in the breadth of a second. Or had I? And I had gone into its lair and challenged. It had told me all of this somehow, hadn't it? And once again, I had awoken it from a harmless slumber. But it couldn't be. It wasn't possible. And yet, somehow, it was. But his eyes hadn't changed, and it was Jamie all the same. And I'm not impressed by much at my age. But you will, won't you? And why? It's my gift to the world I was born too late into. It's true. But I reached my 70s and then my 80s, and my vision began to fail. My hands would shake. I'd forget coding. So I tracked down every piece of ancient lore I could that may help me reclaim my youth. So I bought him and warded him using the sigils I'd read about in ancient text. But eventually, we discovered the right sigils. It really because Metaraxes only desires those who are connected to him somehow. So you can imagine how happy I am that you showed up on my doorstep. And today, the cost is you. It wasn't the fact that my name was engraved at the base of the statue that the velvet cloth had covered. It wasn't the wards which had been moved from the demon's feet to the doors and walls of the room. It wasn't even the fact that the demon's head was turned as to be looking directly down at me. So I fled to the only place I knew was safe. And then, one day, the towns were gone. So I decided to find the thing. So I went from town to town until I found it. It was just there, standing in the center of town. It would take a little while, but the statue always managed to break them. Or prove I'd been right? Or had it actually been about Jamie all along? It took a long time and a lot of towns, he continued, but I finally figured out what I was doing wrong. And not just by anyone, by the second son of a Roman Catholic, preferably from Assisi, Italy, or at least near the region. So, what happened to your second son from Assisi, Italy? And that's when Jameson Scott got a hold of it. And that's why were you protecting him? Because he had almost 80 people on his staff who did nothing but travel every corner of the globe looking for any scrap of information on Metaraxes. It took me a long time to figure out what he was doing. And by then, your name had come up. It's trying. It's not blessed, but it's big. It was louder and longer this time. But this time, it wasn't hypnotized by it. It was alive as it had ever been. Its movements were silent, yet fluid and flexible, like a cartoon on mute. It shattered just as I saw the door on the other side of the room begin to bend as it was pushed in from the other side. It was early, the first rays of sunlight streaming through the trees as we hit the highway. It followed at a considerable distance. Because this is what he wants. But I trusted Jamie, so I didn't object. It doesn't always move like that. It sometimes travels on another plane. It's the only way this will end, Katie. It would for you. It stood in the same position we'd first found him in 13 years before, though this time its face was not stone. So this was it. It was time to pay my dues. So Scott had survived the fall. It's still there, under a pile of rotting detritus that used to be a small church. But one thing is for damn sure, it sure as hell won't be because of me. Finn.
Wow. So I just got to say, while I was listening to that and like keeping the story out of context, it really felt like the progression of things, like the sort of some of the backstory of like Jamie was not actually backstory. It was actually happening, like, and the story was just going further and further into the future.
Yeah.
And like 13 years later, like as she'd been like dealing with this demon and like had help from like from the second son of a Roman Catholic from Assisi, Italy. And then like eventually, like finally they were able to put it back in Deepwood, and but then Scott was there, but then suddenly he had survived the fall. Yeah. Maybe that had something to do with the fact that this creature doesn't always use it's like conventional movement. Sometimes it takes a plane to get places.
Of course, yes. I got that on my nose, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Also, it was revealed that Jamie was the statue the whole time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Based on the context.
Yeah. No, Jamie, you are the demons.
But those unaware, Mikey grabs all the sentences throughout a story, and there was a lot in this one, with that start with words that they probably shouldn't, like its, ends, or buts, because there's always better words to use.
Indeed.
And when you string them together, sometimes comes out with hilarious content when read out of context.
Yes. All right. So, Gamer, do we have... or what? Ted.
I am Gamer. I'm
yeah.
I'm not... It's Gamer... Ted, it's not Ted the Gamer.
It's Gamer the Ted.
Right.
No, hang on. That doesn't sound right either. There's a color, wasn't there?
Teal.
The Gamer in teal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Think. My brain feels weird. Anyway.
Well, yeah, focus on that. But yeah. So, okay. Yeah, so your grammar in yellow.
Teal.
Teal, yes, yeah.
I have a teal highlighter for all these.
Right.
It wasn't the fact that my name was engraved in the base of the statue that the velvet cloth had covered. It wasn't the words, which had been moved from the demon's feet to the doors and walls of the room. It wasn't even the fact that the demon's head was turned as to be looking directly down at me. Period. New paragraph. No, what terrified me most was the room the man was leaning against the wall, blah, 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 blah. So, for me, I would connect these two paragraphs because they're talking about the exact same scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that it tabs down to a new paragraph, like, in the middle of this description.
Mm-hmm.
I find that odd.
Yeah.
And then, a little bit later, Jamie says, working on it, suddenly a keypad flashed green and the door clicked open. Jamie drew a black marker out of his pocket and drew a long line down the middle of the sigil, negating it. But for me, it could be viewed a little confusing since drew is used twice in the same sentence for two different things. Because he drew it out of his pocket, aka pocket, and then drew with the marker.
Yeah, maybe like he pulled it out of his pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many other words to use. Using two of the exact same one for two different meanings is kind of annoying to me. Also, in regards to this, where is this sigil? The last thing that was mentioned was the keypad he's focusing on, and then all of a sudden he's drawing through a sigil.
I kind of saw that, like, maybe it was like on the door, like, because like they put it on the wall, on the wall perimeter. They put the words on the wall perimeter rather than on the pedestal anymore.
Yeah, I noticed when you read that section earlier in the rundown or something. Yeah, you mentioned how the sigils were on the walls of the room and the door. But I wish it doubled down saying on the door here, because I forgot it was on the door at all. So I imagine he like did the code and then like ran over to one of the ones on the ground and just put a line through it. He's like, trust me.
Also, it would just be really funny if like they warded all the walls except for the one means of exit and entry from the built from that door from that room. Like they didn't figure like the demon could open doors.
No, he's not smart enough to open doors.
Yeah.
But either way, if it just said Jimmy pulled out a black marker out of his pocket and drew a long line down the middle of the sigil on the door, negating it. That's all it needed. And then my only other one is actually tell me if you've done this one, because while you guys were doing some of your grammar stuff, I was furiously writing more notes. So Scott had survived the fall. I grimaced and pulled myself over to the edge to peer into the darkness below. I could see nothing but the creature was no longer screaming. So that's how I read it, was I could see nothing but the creature. But it's meant to say, I could see nothing, comma, but the creature was no longer screaming.
Yeah.
That's how it's meant to be. But I first read it as, I could see nothing but the creature. So just the creature.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I get where you're coming from that. Yeah.
A simple comma changes that a lot. But that's all I got for my grammar in yellow. Teal. It's teal.
I don't know. Are you sure it's teal?
I don't know. I got a lot of yellowish kind of tones in my head right now for some reason.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to, I guess, actual thoughts now. I'll start with this one here. When I reached the opposite door, I leaned my head against it and tried to calm my rapidly beating heart. Not out of fear, but a deep desire to be with Metaraxis again. She was practically swooning. to make yet another callback from our previous episode. And we mentioned last week, where like, was this a potential buddy horror? Because the demon only had eyes for Caitlin.
Yes.
It's a pararomantic situation going on here. Two hell-crossed lovers. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. The creature would burn through 100 cities, perhaps 1,000, to claim me. It had told me all of this somehow, hadn't it? I suddenly realized my mistake. The creature had been dormant when I'd arrived in Lannenburg, as it had been dormant 13 years before in Deepwood. And once again, I had awoken it from a harmless slumber. How many would pay the price this time? How many people had to die before the end? Okay, so first off, What did you think was going to happen here? Playing the wild card scenario. Seriously? We mentioned this last week. It's like, what did you fucking think was going to happen with this plan of yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad that she like, it's like when it finally happens, like, oh, poop. Am I the bad guy? Like, it's kind of, it's like, yes. Yes, you are here.
You've been the bad guy the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that was my first thing.
I kind of have viewed her as a villain since, like,
the previous story.
One. No, since also, entry
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
entry,
yeah, she was kind of being diabolical, too, there. We could, like using her, using the emotions of, like, between her and Jamie to her own ends. Like, that's like, childish more, stuff. Like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, that's, it's not, like, super malignant. It's like just kind of like, it's just like childish kind of stuff. But then as it went on,
but when she's a full grown ass adult,
yeah,
there's no excuse anymore.
Exactly. Like, yeah, she was definitely getting more and more like fuck this. Your words are useless, and I'm gonna show you by risking this entire fucking town. And then, like, when it happens, like, why did I do this? Oh god, the consequences. How could this have been foretold? Who could have known?
Everyone.
Yeah. But also, on the same comment, I feel like this strange transfer of information or communication between the demon and Caitlin could have been a little bit more fleshed out for me. Like, explain that she received a pulse of thoughts or something that in that moment with a bit more flourish than just like, with more than just how it says it, where it's the creature would burn through a thousand through 100 cities, but perhaps thousands to claim me. It had told me all of this somehow, hadn't it? Like, I feel like we need a little bit more explanation or like a little bit more descriptor on that.
Yeah,
that's more of just a personal opinion on that. Like, I feel like there should have been some kind of comment about like how it like it telepathically like shot her a message like that. It's like so. Yeah, a glance. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or it's just like
mind.
Mind. Yeah. Or it's like even like just a in her head. It's like, what's up, girl? So yeah, you fucked yourself and everybody in this town. I'm gonna eat this entire fucking town till I get you. Mm-hmm. Like something like so, just like not maybe not that that like silly, but like just a descriptor. A little bit more description about like this apparent like telepathic message that she gets.
Well, that's the other thing. Maybe she doesn't know. She just has the information all of a sudden.
This whole
thing is about rewriting what people know.
Or something similar to that. It had like she has this like half memory of being talked to by the demon, but the demon has erased that memory from her mind in reality.
Oh wow.
And like, so she's like only half remembers. Like, it's sort of like a faded like dream or something like that. Like, so something like that would have been fine. Like, something like that could have been really cool. Like to add in of like this thing, like talking to her and then like neuralizing her a little, like half neuralizing her basically.
Imagine this giant demon pulling in a tiny little neuralizer.
Yeah, this demon's actually not a demon. It's actually just an alien.
Yeah,
the worst of the Men in Black.
Wow, we ruined it. Good
job, guys. I don't think we ruined it. We may have made it better. Worse or better? Mm-hmm. To pull from another alien thing, Invader Zim. But I'll move on to the next thing I have here. Bannock suddenly spun me around and pinned me against the wall, his arms braced on either side of my head. My eyes snapped up at him in shock, and I recoiled from what I saw there. What the fuck are you doing here? I was just, why did you come back, Katie? After all these fucking years. My objection died in my throat. But it couldn't be. It was impossible. And yet, somehow it was. And so, as soon as I got this part, I was like, it's not true. That's impossible. Which is like, what? Bannock was Jamie? Well played, CK Walker. Well fucking played. I did not see that coming at all.
Honestly, I had a sneaking suspicion.
We did get a full name. We did actually get two names for him. It was Bannock, and then we got a first name.
I called Alex or some shit.
I thought it was like something with a D, like Danny or something like that. I think, but
I don't know.
Because of
how much the previous one was like Jameson
hammering
out could not be.
Yeah,
in my head, I'm like, well, it could not be, but. I'm going to read what's here, and it seems like it was.
I completely did not like have any, like, I thought honestly he was just going to be like the big angry like bodyguard of Jameson. Like that was it. Like his henchman.
Honestly,
I had no idea
at the place to get her by himself. That kind of started sowing the seeds of doubt as to why the hell he's there by himself.
The roles have been reversed, sir, because I had no fucking I just thought it's like, oh, Bannock's here to come to either execute Katie or pick her up and bring her back to Jameson.
Yeah.
Like, and then so after that, like, revelation for me, it was what a revelation. after that, my next comment to myself was, what's next? Jameson Scott is actually the bad guy? Cut to my next comment. I saw you take my key card, you know. You played the role perfectly. In fact, everything went according to plan, except him. Scott kicked Jamie in the ribs, but he didn't make a sound. What do you want? I spat. Your name came up. I want you to die. Why? Scott gave a pretentious scoff. This isn't a James Bond movie, Miss Ross. I don't need to explain myself to you. And to this, I'm just like, really? Because you do kind of sound like a Bond villain right now.
Yeah.
No, Miss Ross, I expect you to die.
Yeah, straight on.
Yeah, so like, yeah, obviously, like, I didn't actually think that, like, I didn't actually like get like surprised when Jameson turned out to be a bad guy, because when the henchmen all showed up, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, anyone standing there with henchmen is immediately a bad guy.
Yeah. But yeah, so like, just like, this isn't a James Bond movie, Miss Ross. I don't need to explain myself to you.
Because he's petting a cat.
Yeah, he's petting a cat, and he's like, the Metaraxis is like death ray is slowly like coming down on Ross.
Yeah.
No, Miss Ross, I expect you to die.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. Just like, but yeah, so move on to the next thing I have here. This is more about Jameson Scott and such. You know, I was 50 by the time the internet was invented. 50. What sad irony, then, that I was a technological genius. Oh, but the universe does love its sick jokes. Do you realize I've single-handedly guided the history of modern technology? It's true, but I reached my 70s and then my 80s, and my vision began to fail. My hands would shake. I'd forget coding. I could barely manage to read at one point. And at this, I was like, hang on a second. So I kept reading further, and I got this. The first thing I did was track down the man whose name was etched into the granite at Metaraxis's feet. I presented him for sacrifice, and I was rewarded. That was 6 years ago. I adopted a new name and started a new company. Okay, so the age and the math doesn't actually line up, but for a hot minute, I wondered if Jameson was secretly Steve Jobs.
Wow.
Who died in 2011. A reasonable amount of time between then and 2009, which would be 6 years from the story's present in 2015. But the only problem is Jobs died at the age of 56. Unless, as an effect of the gift and power of Metaraxis, reality had to like alter some things around and haphazardly like change some details.
Yeah, of course. So no one could think that it's him.
Yeah, like legit. I started looking up other tech moguls who had died in 2009.
Wow.
I didn't find any. Surprisingly, I mean, both from a story point of view and from reality point of view, there probably wasn't anybody, but like there could have been.
never know, because Metaraxes will just erase
that. Exactly. Yeah. But like, yeah, for a moment it was like, wait, is this secretly Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a fun little like thing. I don't know if like maybe like I don't obviously think like the author like drew like was pulling from like making fictionalizing an actual person, but like maybe they drew inspiration from just like tech moguls and stuff in general. Mm-hmm. Also, this is definitely the kind of thing that a billionaire tech mogul would do. Like if they were given the chance, they would definitely try and prolong their life to keep making money and keep like living. And
yeah,
and
it's
keep
almost like an Indiana Jones style plot because like
yeah.
It's like, it has magic in it, but it's a techie version of it.
Oh my god, this is an economic horror to a degree, because the rich is this rich asshole is literally using a demon to prolong his life and sacrificing poor schlubs who have no reasons to be like extinguished from reality, just so he could survive and continue guiding human advancement for his own ends. Like,
but eyeglasses were cool.
I mean, the eyeglasses were pretty cool, and like, yeah. And man, like induction recharging, like charging and stuff like that was like gonna be so big, yeah. So big.
Everybody loved it.
Yeah, but I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Probably.
I'll move on to the next thing I have here. Yeah. So this is another one where I'm like, I read something and then I had another, like I had to include another paragraph of comment to back up my comment on the quote. So, since I looked older and the town was getting weary of me anyway, I joined the local police force and spent my nights on patrol downtown, keeping an eye on the thing, reapplying sigils. And so this is the part where, like, so Jamie, like when he was younger, like, was going from town to town and like, and then just joined the local police state, like the police force. I was like, US police recruitment must be really different compared to Canada. You can just go in and sign up. No credentials or academy. But then later,
police academy.
Yeah. Yeah. But then later we do get this. I applied to be on his detail, but was denied. No name, no experience. I only got on because I was able to take out all of his bodyguards in a sort of hand-to-hand combat trial. Guess all those trips through the police academy finally paid off. Okay, so he did go into a police academy.
Multiple times because he kept forgetting who the hell he is.
And that's another part of my point. It's like, it seems like Jamie probably wouldn't have even really had much in the way of, like, identification. Or like it would be very possible that his status would have been like a non-citizen at that point. So he would have had to like get like forged documents or like ID in order to like pass. And like, they'd have to be really fucking damn good to go into like a police academy and to be a local law enforcement. Right.
No, man. Like all no? the information. No. First off, you're right. Second okay. off, yeah. I'm not sure because like in regards to Jamie and Katie, like, who knows them and how much of their stuff is still like valid in regards to ID, because like Metaraxis doesn't seem to give a shit about wiping them from existence until he does.
Well, their lives both were affected
based on. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just like, well, their lives both were affected. Like even Katie, like her whole family life, like their family, like after her dad died, like her mom treated her like wasn't even her daughter anymore. So like, I think that was also part, like that was sort of like another nod of like Metaraxis, like partially erasing her from reality. Or making people kind of forget about her. Like, basically, she got disassociated from reality.
Yeah, but I feel like we need more information on that in regards to, as you said, identification.
Yeah.
And, like who actually knows them anymore. Because it kind of feels like things wipe, but, like, people know who she is still and know who he is still. Like back when he was a kid and his whole family was wiped out and he was living alone in the house, people were just like, oh, yeah, he's that kid that lives alone in that house.
Kind of a weirdo. Yeah.
Yeah, his family died and they left him in the house, so he's there by himself. I think a nanny comes by and sees him every once in a while.
Yeah. Or then it just becomes like, oh, it's just that weird kid that just like loitering in that house that he doesn't own, right?
Yeah.
Or it's just like something like basically just becomes like becomes like a nobody homeless person.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it on like to kind of sum up this whole thing, it's like this just begged more questions than answers to me. Like this whole like him getting a job at the as a local police force like to monitor is like, I don't know if that would have worked out based off the scenario we have here. Like he was also like 12, like he would have been like 15, 16, maybe kind of getting into his, but then he was also apparently aging different, which they do eventually explain why he was kind of aging like faster than Katie.
I actually didn't catch that.
Actually it's in my notes, down the road down here. So yeah. But yeah, like there's just, it begged a lot of questions to me, more than answers about like his whole, like him getting a police job. So
yeah, and part of that of the confusion is just like we don't get a clear answer as to what Metaraxis does to white people, because like does he physically eat every single person?
Yeah,
like, does he have to manually eat every person to wipe them from existence?
I think that's honestly what he does. Like he pops up and like his mouth becomes otherworldly wide and he just swallows somebody whole in a supernatural way that also like removes them from the equation of life and reality.
And he also has to do it to every single person in a town.
Yeah.
With no one seeing him do it every time.
And this is the false Hydra situation. The thing is like people, like he emits some kind of like signal or some kind of presence that makes people forget about him as soon as they walk away from him.
But he doesn't, because Katie and Jamie remember him.
But that's because they were marked. Point. Yeah, I think the reason why they weren't infected is because they were at, they kind of bring it up where like we were kind of right in our first episode of this, where like they were marked, or like they were basically at the epicenter and like they've been tagged by Metaraxis for later.
I mean, that's what I just assumed. There's no like concrete evidence there of that.
I feel like they do suggest that in this version of the story, in this third story. So
I don't know.
Yeah. Again, there definitely could be some more elaboration on that, because there's a lot of like they catch up a little bit, but then like when they ask like the big questions, like what have you been up to last night? It's like, or like when, how did you get the second son of a Roman Catholic? It's like, you don't want to, don't ask me. I'll tell you later. So with that, yeah. It's like, well, yeah. Or we don't even get like I'll tell you later. It's like, don't ask me how. It's like, no, I want to know, fucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll move on to my next thing, if you're okay with that.
No, we're staying here forever.
All right, fair. I asked myself that until a few years ago, when your name came up, I think it needed me to find you. Ironically, in the end, it didn't need me at all. You came anyway. I thought about that and wondered, that was Jamie talking, explaining like why it hadn't eaten him yet. And then this is now Katie talking. I thought about that and wondered for the first time if I actually had come back to prove myself sane. Had I really intended to kill it or prove I'd been right? Or had it actually been about Jamie all along? And to this, I was like, bingo, Jamie was the bait for you. This was just a big long con. Katie was the one that got away. And so the creature kept Jamie alive so that eventually their, like Jamie and Katie's bond would draw her back. I think that's to answer what we were just asking earlier about, like, why did it keep them alive? I think that's honestly what this was. It was like Katie got away from the town before it could devour it. Like she escaped it, but it wanted her back. So like it kept Jamie around so that there was that bond between them.
But you know what's strange?
Mm-hmm.
Metaraxis wants to be known. He wants to be known and he wants to be worshipped.
Yeah.
How is he going to be known and worshipped if he just wipes everyone that knows him?
It's sort of a double sword. Like he wants to be known. He now wants to be known and worshipped, but he still has to feed on, like his sustenance is still people, like people and their experiences in reality.
Yes. But so, leaving her out there, even if only she's in the same asylum.
Yeah.
Spouting that Metaraxis is real, he's wiping everyone from memory, that is getting him exposure. That is like,
hell, this story is giving him exposure. Like this being on Reddit is technically giving him exposure.
Yes.
Like, we now know the name Metaraxis through this Reddit No Sleep story.
Yes, that, so my point is, like, why not just leave her out there spreading the quote-unquote good word of Metaraxis? Because that's what he wants.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. Oh, again, like, it's sort of like the...
He took it personally, I guess.
Either it took it personally, or it's just, like, the way his nature is. Like, he has to eat. He can't... He doesn't get full sustenance unless he feeds on the person that pops up on his pedestal.
And
right?
The other way to think of it is like, okay, he let her go for a while at the start, probably because he wants to be known, but he doesn't necessarily choose who's next to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
And then like her name just came up. It's like, okay, I guess she's got to go now.
Yeah. It could be like the product of some kind of like higher power. Like, and that's like, this might be like, because Metaraxis is a demon and like generally demons are like evil spirits or even like fallen angels or what have you in various mythologies. So this could be basically like Metaraxis's punishment by God or something like that, or the higher power is that he will only get proper nourishment from eating the person that was on his that's on his plaque, basically. Mm-hmm. In some weird fucked up cosmic judgment. But yeah. Again, more questions than answers. I'll move on to the next thing here, which is another thing about that.
Great. I love it.
Love it. No, I love it and I hate it at the same time. a sigil will slow it down, but in order to stop it, the ward needs to be blessed. And not just by anyone. By the second son of a Roman Catholic, preferably from Assisi, Italy. I'm pretty sure that we've been pronouncing that wrong, but I don't care. yeah. Or at least near the region. Don't ask me how I figured that out. Cop out.
Wow.
Seriously, a little bit more elaboration would have actually been cool. Hell, I would have even taken, like, if we get out of this, I'll tell you how I figured that out sometime over a beer, maybe. Like that, I would have accepted that, honestly. Like, even just the promise that Katie's at least going to get the answer.
Yeah,
that.
We don't need to know.
Yeah, don't ask me how I figured that out. I hate that in stories. Like, no, tell me how you found that out. I'm curious. It's happened a couple times in like some. I remember the most prominent one in my mind for like. Where I've heard that happen and gotten annoyed is from a Slender vlog, actually, Trial of Leaves or Trail of Leaves, where like halfway through the near the end of the series, one of their friends, one of the guys like who's like been vlogging this whole thing, the whole like weird mystery and like and dangers and stuff, comes back with like knowledge about how to like properly like go into the Slender reality and like maybe even like fight the demon creatures that are in there, and like when he's asked like. Yeah, I got this book and this blade. Don't ask me how I found it. I was like, no, I hate you. Why? Why would you do that to me?
Yeah.
At least tell me where you found it. Like, you found it through some research online, or like by digging into some like thrift stores or something like that, or you broke into like a friggin' long lost like Catholic vault or something. I don't know.
Something's better than nothing.
Yeah. But I'll move on to the next thing here. You're a brilliant bastard, James Karras. And now we have Jamie's last name, I guess. Though, I guess Bannock was an alias. Maybe he did actually get forged IDs for when he was partially vanishing and from society and reality. I don't know. I just when she said like it's like you're a brilliant bastard, James Karras. I was like, James Karras, is that his last name? I don't know.
Know his last name the whole time, and she just hasn't mentioned it.
Yeah, because I mean, like, we know that like Katie's Caitlin Ross, but yeah, it's weird because like he was going by Bannock, so I was just like, okay, so I guess it's Jamie Bannock, but no, it's yeah.
What I don't get is like, what's the point of him using a different name?
Yeah, I really feel like they need to explain that. Like,
it's not like he's on the run from anyone.
Okay. Well, yeah, like he's using a different name for. In the event that his name shows up on the demon stone.
Oh, shit.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, okay. I wish that was mentioned. like even like when they're in the car, like driving back, like driving to Deepwood, it's like, so Bannock, what's that about? And it's like, oh, it's like, there we go. Done. It's added to the story. Done.
Yeah.
Or yeah, because I would even send like what if like what some of that small talk while they were like in the room about to be eaten by the demon, it's like, so Bannock, huh? Like,
yeah,
that would have been interesting, but no. We just get like Katie just always knew her name or his name was his last name was Karis, and now and just now reveals it. Uh-huh. Anyways, moving on to the next thing. my favorite one, actually, or we're getting to some of my favorite bits, actually, for like my comments and quote from the quotes and such. Jamie drew back. Jamie drew a black marker out of his pocket and drew a long line down the middle of the sigil. That bugs me now. That really bugs me now. Thanks. I hate it. negating
a marker. So he pulled out a pencil, drew a marker on the wall, pulled a real marker out of the drawn marker, and marked the wall.
Yeah. Moving on. So he's pulling the marker out to like negate the sigils, like the wards and sigils and stuff. I was like, what are you doing? Just trust me. Jamie pushed back pushed me back out the door. We don't have to outrun the demon. We just have to outrun the city. Again, just like, don't worry. The city of Lannenburg will be our getaway or our smoke screen.
Yeah. He might be desensitized to it by now. It's very possible. Say that.
Yeah, it very possible. And then we get this bit, which is both awesome and kind of weird for me. How did you unlock that door? I asked as we ran across the parking lot. Scott isn't the only one who's good with programming, Jamie yelled back. I followed him to a black Jeep sitting at the edge of the parking lot. We jumped in just as a loud bang echoed across the asphalt. God only knew what it meant. Jamie shoved his keys in the ignition and turned the car over. The beginning chords of Highway to Hell blasted from the speakers. Okay. This shit's about to go down with an action pasta.
Yeah.
Is really what it felt like. Like
that is when it shifted gears, so to say.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah, we definitely started like going into like thriller territory with the story, or like
I auction thought the music video.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm at the genre where it's like, like horror is horror genre, like, and creepy, like where creepypastas kind of dwell. It's with like it's a focus on fear and fear alone, and there's very disparate moments, and like there's some like false hopes and stuff like that, and it's very dark. But when you add action to a horror genre story, it becomes a thriller, where it kind of blends in the thriller, like the horror aspects and the scary stuff with action, and it kind of like almost sort of like tampers the horror with the action. And it makes it a different kind of like, it turns it from fear to like tenseness and like anxiety, anxious events rather than like fearful events.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the story eventually ended up for me, where it's like, it has tense moments and even some creepy mood, here and there, but now it's about to go full blown. Well, what I thought was about to go full blown chase scene in a car, rock music playing on the radio.
It actually did.
Yeah. And this feels more in line with like the stuff from like, I Dared My Best Friend to Ruin / End My Life series of Reddit No Sleep Stories, where like we got those like tense action moments where like they're trying to escape the cultists in their car and like crashing through like through roads and stuff like that. I don't hate it. It was just not what I was expecting from the story, which I don't know why, because by the second story, we kind of had like an organization of bodyguards and this rich guy. I probably should have seen some kind of action, like espionage action sequence, like yippee-ki-yay motherfucker kind of situation going on. But
a gun was referenced in the second entry, and it was used in the
very... It was Chekhov's gun.
Actually, no, it wasn't Jamie's gun.
It was Jameson's gun. Yeah. And then the next thing we have, yeah, so that's what I was like, I didn't hate the sudden shifting of gears to an action pasta. It just I didn't see it coming. I didn't see a lot of things coming, apparently, from this in the story, which I should have.
He's okay. But, yeah. Welcome to my life.
Yeah. Thanks. I hate it.
Don't say yes.
Is it wrong?
No, it's not.
I'll move on to the next thing I have here. Where are we going, Deepwood? Fuck. I said as I leaned back in the chair, but I trusted Jamie, so I didn't object. Won't it take the creature days to make it here? Or days to make it there? I asked, eyeing Jamie's speedometer, which was at 90. It doesn't always move like that. It sometimes travels on another plane. I can't explain it. Everything changes and warps around that thing, even time. That's why I'm about 8 years older than I should be. Okay, so that's actually, I don't know, I find that really interesting that this thing, it can use, like, it can basically affect space-time by basically, like, planar jaunting between, like, this reality and, like, I guess the demon reality, to basically blink around, or, like, dimension door around, to use Dungeons & Dragons terms. but, like, you know, but the spell, or the power it's using, these spell-like abilities it's using, also affect the real reality in the real world, as it kind of affects the reality just by its other traits and demonic nature. So that also explains why by Jamie is 8 years older than Katie physically. Now is because because reality itself ages, or time in time in a localized area around the demon fluctuates when it's basically creating a singularity or traveling or ripping a hole between reality and another. And
he's
so
basically always around it because he's chasing it.
But the okay, so going back to the first story, time moved quicker, and they go, oh, the sun's already setting when they were nearing close to it, but time still moved that amount of time. So
it's a time dilation, but, like, again, it causes weird anomalies where it hangs out and sticks around.
Also, that was when it was in the basement of the church, warded. Not when it was free.
Also, the town, who knows what happens, like, if they were to go explore the lots and locations where, like, the other towns no longer exist, and just, like, old, like, weird forests and trees exist, there might be other, like, weird time anomalies there, like, or time dilations as well. It also might also kind of explain a lot of the weird Appalachian, like, trail stuff with, like, people having lost time and getting lost in the woods and stuff. The Metarax has just been hanging out in the Appalachian Trail in this neck of the woods, basically, creating weird anomalies with its just by moving around and with its presence. So it does sort of explain the weird, like, lost time that they suffered in the previous stories. But I'll move on to the next thing here. if he was already down here, why couldn't we stay up there? I whispered. He wasn't. There were no wards to protect us now, and nowhere to run. I couldn't help thinking this was a bad plan. Well, he's here now, so let's go. We can't, Katie. If we leave now, he will too. Well then, what's your plan, Jamie? And just then, Jamie pushed Katie into the demon to appease it. Psych!
I was kind of expecting that.
Same. It doesn't happen.
I kind of wish that happened.
It would have been really cool. And then, like, even if it had got, like, done that, and then, like, it was sort of like a double Hamlet, like a fake out, where, like, because apparently he had inscribed a ward on her chest and his chest to, like, so that when the creature went to eat them, like, something happened, like, it let out some kind of a pulse or something.
Did he do that previously?
That's what it sounds like. It's something that I feel it should have been brought up. Like, Jamie's just like, I'm sorry I had to do this, but, like, when you were passed out in the room with the demon, I put a ward on your chest or on your stomach or something.
Yeah, I wish it was mentioned, like, because it's mentioned that the ward's there, but, like, how I read it was they're down there.
Yeah.
And then as she's being eaten, he busts out the Sharpie and just goes for it.
Just like does like a ninjutsu like warding. Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Which made me think, like, okay, he's drawing it like on her shirt, which is like ruffling and moving, so it's not gonna be perfect. But yeah. Then maybe I'm like, okay, maybe she's wearing like a V-neck situation. She's and he's drawing it like under her collarbone on that chest there.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, maybe then it's more solid.
Yeah, we don't get
also,
an yeah.
At that point, she is being eaten by Metaraxa, so she's probably not standing perfectly still for him to draw.
Well, maybe she is, because like her soul is being sucked out, but like her body's just like standing there stiffly. So like meanwhile, it's like, all right, just now's the time.
Just full on T-pose.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most importantly though, yeah. He said that the sigil only works when it's blessed by a second son of a Roman Catholic.
Yeah. But like
he says this because he had to figure this out specifically, which would make us assume that Jamie isn't the second son of a Roman Catholic. So
well, no,
this
no.
ward wouldn't work.
Well, here's the thing. He said that the wards slow it down, but unless they're blessed, they won't stop him.
Dude, that ward did not slow down that eating procedure. It stopped it. It stopped.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, oh no, my one weakness.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
See, at this point, I feel like Jamie should have like said, like, don't worry, I had the second son of a Roman Catholic from Assisi bless my permanent marker.
Or it's like, joke's on you, I am the second son of a Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
I just had to figure out that was specifically why it worked.
Yeah, I don't know why, like, I don't know why, like, that. Why wasn't that just the thing? Like instead of, like, having to hunt down a second son.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't Jamie have just been the second son of a Roman Catholic?
Yeah, I found out, like, I was learning sigils and people were helping me do it. It didn't work when they did it, but it worked when I did. And we found out why.
Yeah. And that's why, maybe that's why Jameson kept him on board, like, as well. Like, because he could actually implement the sigils as well, so.
Yeah. That would make it a lot better.
Too many questions.
Yeah.
Like, and like just some simple, like offhand, like descriptions or like mentions would have fixed some of these problems.
Yeah. There's no like entire paragraphs that need to be added in for this information. It's just one liners, you know?
Yeah.
That's all that needs to be said. Yeah. We don't need to know details. We just need to have all the threads connected, you know?
Yeah. Moving on to the next one I have here, and falling in line with me switching spots with Gamer today, apparently. fuck you. My last word was drowned out by a loud cracking sound that echoed through the little church as the spiral staircase came crashing down below. Okay. I for sure thought that the crack sound, like, or that cracking sound was from the gun that Jameson Scott had on Jamie as he plugged Jamie in the head.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, fuck you, bang. All right, now go into the pit. I was like, okay, shit, Jamie's dead. But no, it was the spiral staircase came crashing down, apparently. I guess the demon's just like having a fit down there.
Where he tried climbing up them really fast.
And maybe, yeah.
Or he tried climbing them, period, but now they're too old, so they just collapsed.
Yeah, yeah, that could be it, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a number of years since the last time he climbed them.
Yeah. But, yeah, I definitely had, I shot him, bang, with my a glance. Oh. It was sort of one of those moments where it's just like, I thought the cracking sound was going to be something else, but it was, yeah.
Fair.
And then the next thing here, Jamie jerked his body forward and threw himself and Scott into the dark hole between us. No, I screamed as Scott's men scattered out the door. That's weird. It's like, I screamed. I get it's like she's screaming as the background stuff's happening. But it seemed like I screamed as Scott said, no, come.
Yeah, it's like she's screaming because they left.
Yeah, but that's actually not what I want to comment about on that. It's like, wow, those goons are terrible. They just fled at the first sign that their boss was in trouble.
Yeah, or some bodyguards they are.
Then again, maybe they're just really smart and quick thinking because like they see what this, they've seen what this thing can do when it's like unleashed, and they just see their boss go into the pit. Is like, well, boss is fucked. Let's get out. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
They're both in like not dependable, but also too smart for goons.
They really are. Cause like, well, I'm surprised not even one of them, like, even tried to go help, you know, it's just all of a sudden the goons didn't have to be there.
The goons were like there. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't just start firing or something like that. Oh shit, boss is fucked. Let's get the hell out of here. Boss went down the hole. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yep. Boss fell down
the hole. I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's the realization, it's like, oh, boss is gone. Well, I'm not getting paid anymore. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Right. That's probably what it is. It's like, yeah. It's like, well, we've seen what that demon has done in the past, and boss just went down into a pit with it. Fuck that. He's dead. We're not getting paid, boys. Let's go find another client. Mm-hmm. Just immediately, any funnier, and it would have been, they just put their guns away and just walk out casually.
Yep.
Like, don't even like
each other, just casually just walking.
It's like, god damn it. like great, now we gotta find a new client. Mm-hmm. My wife's gonna be pissed. But yeah, so that was my comment on that. It's like, man, these are both the worst guards and also the smartest guards. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. By the dawn of the fourth day, he and all his inventions abruptly disappeared from the world. There were a few I was sad to see go, like the rise of inductive charging and eyeglasses. Eyeglasses being like EYE glasses or eyeglasses.
Spell normal glass eyeglasses.
Are you serious? Like, I thought it was like an I would have expected it would have been like an I, like the letter I glasses.
That's only for Apple products.
Yeah. Which is why I kind of thought this was kind of going, but anyway, yeah.
Playing, like actual glasses that you wear to correct
your vision. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of
these are TM. These are eyeglasses TM.
It's horrible branding.
I know.
Absolutely horrible branding on his part.
So it's glad that they're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you would have loved eyeglass. And you probably did. Honestly, contact lenses that were actually cameras, they put GoPro out of business. I could never afford it, but you may have had one. I miss those YouTube videos.
Actually, you know what? It's eyeglass.
Yeah, eyeglass. Yeah.
But if you're talking about multiple of them, it would be eyeglasses.
Yeah.
Which is annoying.
Which is terrible.
Because that's a different thing, because that's glasses correct vision. Please continue.
But yeah, so with this, like this reference of like these inventions or this, the rise of things that like that, Jameson brought to the world now because he's gone and because reality had to, because he was wiped from reality, all of his inventions are also kind of gone or at least diminished. I like that we get some detail, at least a few details. These are the one few times in the story we actually get some details that went into like that of some of his inventions that went with, Jameson Scott. Like out of all the other details I would have liked in this story, I'm at least glad that this part was added.
Yeah. Cause he was talking about how like he's
had multiple patents.
Yeah. And like helped the world technology and all technologically wise and all that. So it's good to see it mentioned specifically what.
Yeah. And I mean, he does also is like, so basically he was a leading partner in the rise of induction charging. And so like apparently in that future, in that version of reality, induction charging really took off versus like plugging in a phone or whatever that you just put it on one of those induction discs and charge that way. But he didn't just that's straight up invent
now, isn't it?
Hmm? What?
Isn't that how it is now with wireless charging?
Well, yeah, the wireless charging, but that again, like that was like in 2015, it was like in the reality of the story before he was vanished, it was like they were on the rise, whereas now they'd actually kind of diminished after that.
Yeah.
So, and that actually makes sense to like in accordance with our own world, because like induction was supposed to be the next big thing, but it didn't really catch. Like they're out there now and they're starting to again come back, but like their initial like kind of arrival on the scene was kind of met with like too expensive or like kind of impractical or like people just didn't get it. And like, so like they, I remember like them being like really big. And then like a few months later, people were still using cable, like charging cables and stuff like that rather than induction discs. So,
Well, it's
too expensive.
No, well, it's a thing where
Teslas.
Well, I'm talking about the induction still.
I know you are.
It's a thing where the whole induction stuff has been around for years.
Yeah.
It's just, it takes a while for things or people to use them. For instance, like Samsung had it 2 years before Apple did.
Yeah.
So it was also that slowed it down. It's still a thing. Most newer phones have it, just people don't use it because they don't have the charger.
Yeah. Like my mom has one that she uses occasionally. So, but she also has a cable that plugs in, but she uses, she does have like a little like disc on our coffee table that she'll put her phone on. So
are they slower? Just like more convenience?
Well, they're fast charging now. Yeah. So it's just as fast as a cable, and it's actually technically better for your phone because you don't have to keep jamming a cord into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not wearing out a connection.
I've also seen like they're also like now like they're getting a lot more trendier. Like I've seen ones that are like you put it on and it starts glowing like outward from the epicenter to show like a sigil circle or like a Doctor Strange circle, or even like Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild, like the Sheikah Slate thing, when you'll start seeing like the glowing runes start like glowing outward to the edges.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah, right. Like I would love,
I would upgrade.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. But yeah, so in this story, apparently in this reality, like they really took off initially, but because Jameson was removed from reality, they went into decline.
Yes.
And then his straight up invention, the eyeglass, just is gone, and GoPro is back on top. But yeah, so I just liked the little addition of like that detail of like we actually got some of his inventions because it had been mentioned through the stories like that he was a tech he was big in the tech industry and that he had a bunch of patents. So it's like, well, what kind of patents? Like you're just being very vague with this.
Yes. So
it was cool that we actually got some at least some detail about that. Mm-hmm. And then
like more like he's a real character and he's not just there to be a villain. To be
killed. Yeah. Also, again, like the products that were mentioned did also still kind of make me think it's like, is he just like not like straight up the character, but is he like sort of a parody of like Steve Jobs or he could just be like any kind of tech mogul of that period, like Elon Musk or whatever.
They're kind of interchangeable in a way.
Yeah. But I'll move on to the last thing I have with the quote is Deepwood is dead. Only Jamie and I even know where it is. So the town dies with us. I wouldn't try to find it if I were you. I've changed a lot of the details, names of towns, names of roads, perhaps even when this all happened. I won't tell you, and you don't want to know anyway. So to this, I'm like, clever, very clever. But were they intentionally altered in the story, or did Metaraxis's consumption after your his consumption and of various things and people's augment your own memories? Yeah, it was just like that's like I actually thought that was actually pretty clever, like from a writing point of view of like. Like, don't try to find it. I've gone ahead and changed a bunch of like place names and even road names and stuff, which goes into what we were talking about. I think last episode when she was like looking around for the town and she went to the one road that is not where it's supposed to be and stuff like that is because it's been changed for the story so that no one can actually find the real location, which is smart.
Yep, I'm down with it.
So, but that is the end of my actual thoughts. Mikey, these stands for evil.
Okay, so the first couple of actual thoughts here that I have are along the same lines. So they happen in different points, but they're the same thing, which is I had to rewrite the scene in my head.
Uh-oh.
That's my favorite thing to do.
So when she's in the room with the statue, surrounded by velvet ropes.
Yep.
And then she goes up to it. She's underneath it. And then suddenly it's revealed that the statue was encased in glass.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. You're right. Yeah.
One of them. Yeah, bitch.
The glass encasing it on either side shattered. The makeshift wall behind split in two, and the velvet ropes came crashing down.
So there still are velvet ropes. They don't want you to damage the glass.
Here's the thing. Maybe I'm wrong. But I thought the glass that was getting smashed by the tail were the glass displays in the rest of the room around the statue's display. But,
oh.
Yeah, it's encasing it.
Because there were
it says encasing?
It does say encasing?
Yeah, it says encasing, yep.
Okay, then I misread that, and I assumed it was like the other glass displays in the room of all the other relics and stuff. Okay, yeah, that's really... Why? It doesn't mention that in the second story at all.
It doesn't, no.
If that, it's meant to be the ones around it, it should be not encasing, but surrounding it, maybe. But yeah. Then
yeah.
That would be taken wrongly.
Out of context. But yeah, it could be. Context. It could still be vague. But yeah. Yeah, that seems like a real big plot hole right there. Because like that was not mentioned in any of the descriptions previous of the statue.
Because yeah, I thought it was just out.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And then my next... thing here is I suddenly heard the sound like a book slamming onto a table, and then we get Jamie clutching his arm, blood oozing, and then a few paragraphs later it's revealed I stumbled over to Jamie, but Scott stopped me with a single click of his gun. So it's at that point there is, oh, it was a gunshot that we heard earlier.
See, I didn't know. Okay.
Honestly, I caught it right away.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times when I describe the way that a silencer actually sounds, it is like dropping a book on the ground. Like, it's not, look at the movies. You can't be like John walking through a busy like airport just shooting at each other with no one being the wiser. It's loud. It's still loud. It just doesn't sound specifically like a gunshot anymore. You'd be like, what's that noise? Instead of, oh God, I'm being shot at. That's the difference.
Yeah, it should really be like, they shouldn't call them gun like silencers. They should call them mufflers. Because that's what it does. It muffles the noise to basically a book being slammed on the ground.
Well, realistically, they're not called silencers. They're called suppressors because they suppress the noise.
Right, yeah.
It's
but everybody calls them slicers.
Called silencers by the industry in video games.
Yeah, by basically pop culture media, they're just silencers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it sounds cooler than suppressors or something.
Yeah. Well, again, because in movies you get like, doo, 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 rather than like,
yeah,
because like that's basically more. It's more. It's a louder like punch, but it's not the gun blast that you get.
So yes, I had an unfair advantage hearing this sound effect first, because when I was first heard a book noise in the middle of a freaking kerfuffle, I immediately thought gun.
See, I thought I'm kind of with on Mikey's side a little bit, I guess, on this, because I thought it was just that sound was representing Jamie falling to the ground like a book hitting the ground kind of thing, like, because that would have probably sounded very kind of similar, like a kind of a larger meteor like drop, right? But
true, a little more description would not hurt this.
That seems to be our running thing this week.
Yeah, like I like the descriptor of the book.
Yeah,
but you could just say as a gunshot rang off.
Yeah,
as a suppressed shot was heard or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that those are my two things where like I had to rewrite what I was my visual.
Yeah,
it's like, why is he clutching his arm? Why is there blood? Oh, it was a gun.
Also,
like,
really hard with that phone call.
Also, is it just me, or did his wound like move across his chest? in the story. To me, it says it shot in the arm, but then I got the impression that it was in his shoulder, and then I got the impression it was the center of his chest.
The center of the chest was just because he was like laying on the side and the blood was running down.
I guess, yeah, maybe, yeah.
But it's also not clear whether or not he got shot the second time. Just while we're talking about gunshot wounds on Jamie specifically.
Yeah.
Because like in the church, like he started bleeding again. And I don't know
if I think that was
shot as he jumped him or just he opened the wound by jumping him.
I think that to me that came across as that he had just opened up the wound again.
Yeah.
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 It wasn't very clear though. So another area that could use a little bit more descriptor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But please continue, Mikey.
All right. So here's my next quote. I reached the double doors and tried to jerk them open, hoping they weren't locked from the other side. So this is when she's trying to leave the room with the statue. Twitch, my response is, well, based on fire code, doors are supposed to open outwards, and there should have been an emergency exit in that room.
Yeah.
But he's a James Bond villain.
So he set it up so that there is no escape but one.
It's also a museum, and the museum probably had a specific room for traveling displays or whatever.
Yeah, right. This isn't his secret lair's murder room. This is actually...
Yeah, this is literally a public thing. Yeah.
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 And even then, it's also it also seems like it's a modular room because the tail goes through like the... the tail... I remember like it crashed through, like it mentioned like the walls of the museum room were like could be moved or reorganized. Maybe I'm misreading that.
I don't recall that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't recall that either.
But yeah, you're also, I think you're more on the right on that because of like this museum is not up to OSHA standards.
Mm-hmm. And it should be.
Damn it. You know, I want to cease to exist from reality. Breaking OSHA standards.
All right. So my next quote here, we're going into some critically silliness.
Oh,
hell yeah.
So my sneakers struggled for purchase on the slick marble floor. And when they finally found it, I was up and running toward the lobby on the wings of adrenaline. My mind went to Looney Tunes with the spinning legs, and then suddenly, pshew!
Yeah, Looney Tunes or Scooby-Doo, just like... Yeah.
It's the realistic version of that actually happening.
Also, a part of me also like envisioned just like her just like trying to get up, like just like just be like just dancing around like because she can't like keep her balance. But yeah, I like how I acted that out in my room.
I didn't audio tell you were doing something. I just couldn't tell what you were doing. I figured you were going like whoa, whoa, as you're losing like balance. But your sound effects sounded like you were doing like kung fu.
Because like, to a degree, I was kind of doing like haphazardly, like actually like waving my hands around and like my legs like kind of like just like sliding my legs across my wooden my wood floor. Oh, we are not a visual medium.
We're not, but we try to be, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. So my next bit of critically silliness. I heard a clicking sound, and Jamie stood up, tossing a now worthless pair of handcuffs onto the floor. He walked over to me and stood me up. Okay, so he did nothing?
Just no, they're not walked going over. On the date.
Yeah, this is not a date, Katie. This is if this was, this would be the worst date ever.
Yeah.
It's been 13 years. I've waited 13 years for this. Walks away. You bitch.
Yeah.
You caused all this.
All right. So that back to more actual thoughts. Okay. My last one that is, I don't think is critically silly.
Make it silly.
All right. I presented him for sacrifice and I was rewarded. That was 6 years ago. I adopted a new name and started a new company. All was going well until your name came up about 4 years ago. So, if he hasn't appeased the demon for four years, and his youth is already restored, why does he need the demon?
Well, because then if it does break... Well, because, actually, that's the thing, like...
His youth is restored... currently, but for all we know, again, we would need more info for this. If he isn't a servitor of Metaraxis anymore, then the youth spell just ends and he immediately ages and dies.
Yeah. Alternatively, I think maybe because he's had it warded and the wards do work, the thing hasn't been able to move for the last 4 years, and so they've actually kept it in place while they try and find they're both working with they're working with the creature, but like not working with the creature because they have it bound. Like established that like the wards were working to keep it in place and stopping where it goes, but they were searching for Katie for the last 4 years. But because they found Katie and put her in the room and like extended the wards out, it gave the story the reason for it to be able to get loosed again.
And that's probably also why he's like on display now, because Metarax is probably like, look, if you're not going to get me this girl, I need to be worshipped.
Yeah. It's like,
while you find this girl, like,
while you are searching for my next meal, put me on a pedestal.
Literally.
Like legit. Let me breathe. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my rat. Yeah.
Told you we'd make it curtain silly.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, the demon only moves when nobody else is around.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Toy Story all of a sudden.
Oh, no, we're actually referencing the frog. From Legion is like, hello, my baby. Like, it only does it to the one person. True. And then when it's presented in front of a crowd, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Metaraxis is really just that frog. that frog was actually a demon, another like representation or avatar of Metaraxis.
I can see it.
Yeah.
All right. That's into my actual thoughts.
All right. Gamer in yellow?
Sure, we'll go with yellow.
Yeah, all right, let's go with yellow, yeah. That sounds right.
Good decision, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is in regards to Jamie and Katie talking about the demon and such. I ignored his optimism. Why do you think it hasn't killed us yet? Jamie sighed. It's trying. Scott kept a close watch over his demon, but I managed to get one thing by him. Statue sitting on the sigil the size of a Mini Cooper. It's not blessed, but it's big. And now Jameson knows this too, since this place is under surveillance.
Yep. And that's so why they
should. If you got out of this, that secret is now revealed.
And that's why they were like basically like in the area, like waiting for. Like, that's why, like, when they, as soon as they got in the car, they were suddenly being tailed by Jameson and his goons.
Yeah.
Like, they were nearby. They weren't like at the site, but they were nearby enough to like basically like. Tail them in the car.
I kind of hate how he says, I'm not a Bond villain, but I'm going
but to... But I'm totes a Bond villain.
Wait, I need the quote from Dr. Evil.
Hang on. Yeah, hang on. Yeah, we gotta do this proper. I've got a gun in my room. You just don't get it, do you, Scott? Yeah. Jameson Scott?
My God.
And then Jameson, didn't Scotty end up becoming the Bond villain at the end of the third movie?
Yes.
Oh my god.
God. How am I going to find this quote?
Hang on. Dr. Evil's.
It's a death trap quote. I searched that. It's not coming up.
Dr. Evil, like, Scott, I want you to meet Daddy's nemesis, Austin Powers. Scott, what? Are you going to feed him? Are you feeding him? Why don't you kill him? No, Scott, I have a better idea. I'm going to place him in an easily escapable situation that would allow an overly elaborate and exotic death.
Yes. That's exactly what's happening here. He doesn't stay to watch it. He just leaves. Because if he stays there to watch it, he can actually kill who he wants to kill.
Yeah.
Make sure they die.
You just don't get it, do you, Scott?
But
exhibit exhibit A.
He is so a Bond villain.
He's like, what? This is not a Bond movie. I'm totally not a Bond villain.
Actually, an Austin Powers villain.
Yeah, I'm actually, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not. This is not a Bond movie. This is an Austin Powers film.
Pulls off the wig.
Yeah.
Number two comes in with the cat.
Yeah, the hairless cat.
Mr. Bigglesworth. That's it.
Yep.
We should probably stop talking about Austin Powers and go back to the story.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get to the basement of the church. Yes, I'm jumping that far ahead.
It's fine.
Where Jimmy says, I'm sorry, he yelled. I'm sure it would come for me first. Why would he assume that it would go for him first when this creature's entire obsession has been trying to get Katie?
Yeah, why would he think it would go after him first when Katie's on the plaque?
Yes. His one target that he wants to consume.
Yeah.
Totally not going to go for her first.
Also, the way you said that is like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
I did accidentally say it like Pee Wee Herman from Cheech and Chong. Still smoking?
Maybe. What are those? You're looking it up, aren't you?
No. Next movie. Cheech and Chong's next movie.
Yeah.
He killed it in that.
Yeah.
Anyways, suddenly, the trapdoor slams shut. Jamie's standing over it as the entire building began to shake. The edges around the door grew bright, like molten metal before darkening like a blown-out flame. So, I'm assuming he's able to close it now because the demon is down there again, so the sigil can do what it's meant to do. Because it was said before, she's like, you didn't close it? He's like, believe me, I tried.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah, that's probably what it was. Is like it has to stay open so that the demon can actually get back in.
Yes, but once the demon's in there, you can close it. So I like that this is like this. And you don't really have to beat us over the head with it because we get it.
Yeah.
Plus, my head is hurting from being beat over the head about Jameson is Jamie. I hate that we were all wrong.
Yeah, no, it's not so much like, oh yeah, I saw it was coming a mile away. I totally did.
Yeah.
Fuck you, story, for proving me wrong.
We should have known.
We should have.
It was so blatantly obvious. And
the Jameson was going to be Jamie.
Has chopped in writing.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. So
she's written for she's done scripts for a bunch of like Netflix like movies or Netflix TV shows like that House on Haunted Hill and like the Haunting of Blythe House, I think, like those kind of like those series. Like yeah. She's written the scripts. She's worked on the scripts for those. So,
for sure, yes, we should have known.
Or the Haunting of Hill House. That's what I was referencing. Sorry. But yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
Yes, moving on. Bad things are done. After he was released from the hospital, we spent a few weeks weighing our options. In the end, we decided to hunt down people like Jameson Scott and the powers they wielded. You don't know about them. And if we have our way, you never will. Due to Jamie's time with Scott, there's some good leads. We have a lot of blood on our hands to atone for and a lifetime to do it in. So, the end of the story, they just become murderers.
They become serial killers.
They go around murdering people who made deals with the devil. Like, okay, they're bad people, but Why do these two people keep throwing themselves into
the shit? Oh my god.
They just survived. Like, just stop. Stop fucking with the world.
My god. The series started with Katie being a villain, like growing, like starting to be, like show signs of being a villain, and ended with her actually kind of being a covert villain.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, again, they are bad people, but right now. Yeah. Mind you, again, they are bad people that they're killing, that they're going after and stuff. But like, it's still like, you're still going to be represented as like, it's like Dean and Sam Winchester being considered like the worst serial killers in America in the Supernatural series, because they're killing what the public sees as people, or they're always being around when like people are dying. And really it's like, because they're hunting werewolves or vampires and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same kind of premise. Like they're technically turning into like serial killers.
They are. Like, I'm being reminded of that scene from True Lies where, like, I forget who it was, but someone asked, like, Arnold, it's like, you kill people? It's like, yeah, but they're all bad.
Yeah, it's when they were, like, down in the interrogation thing, and he has a truth serum, and his wife is like, have you killed people? Yeah, but they were all bad.
Yeah. Doesn't make it right.
No.
And then, after it's all done, the story doesn't directly explain why Katie and Jamie were spared by the demon. We kind of got there. You kind of actually helped me understand that a little bit more. She was bait because she was the one that got away and all that.
And Jamie was kept as bait for...
She's just the current one that showed up, I believe. Because I don't think Metaraxis has been trying to get her the whole time, because he hasn't given a shit, because he's just been feasting.
Yeah, it wasn't until Katie came back up onto his pedestal. I was like, oh, this bitch again.
Yeah. I don't know why he let Jamie live, though.
Well, again, like, I think it was like, as a, like, basically Jamie was the bait for Katie.
Yeah, but the only true time he needed Katie was when she was on the pedestal.
Well, I mean, it's a demon. They're probably like doing like the long con stuff. Like, yeah, it's like, I don't want to eat you yet because I might get a better meal later.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, all in all, the demon himself, he kind of felt dumb. Like, very dumb, because like it, with the same level of intelligence as a wild animal, you know, because like, or maybe less so, because like, how could it not see that it was being led into a trap when its prey is hiding in the prison that it was held in for ages?
Pride, desperation, hunger. It had been waiting for 4 years to get Katie.
How long? So it could have been waiting in the prison. Those 4 years were nothing.
Yeah, I suppose I don't know.
If
like,
this
I
thing was smart. Mm-hmm. He would just sit outside the trap door and wait, because either they would try to leave or they would die of starvation. Regardless, the demon would win.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there has to be some kind of hubris that the monster has so that they can be defeated by the protagonist.
All he has is hubris, though. Like,
yeah. Well, he's also a demon. Like, there's a reason. Well, demonic or like demonologically, there's a reason angels fell and became demons, because they weren't
idiot
perfect.
Angels. Yeah.
Hubris, idiocracy.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
That's Idiocracy, actually.
Yeah.
Where they invented Crocs accidentally.
We keep referencing other things.
Movies a lot. This is a very movie-centric one.
Yeah. It's only going to go uphill from here because in my final thoughts, I reference at least two movies.
God damn it. Well, let's just get there because I'm...
All right. Okay, fine. So that's it for the actual thoughts. On to final thoughts. So I did really like it, though during this part and story, it definitely became more of an action-packed thriller, like something you'd see in Jurassic Park or Predator 2, in that there is creepiness and there is fear, but it's tampered with the action moments and the espionage and like that kind of stuff. I like how things wrap up at the end here, though I think it could be also be fleshed out a bit more, like maybe a way bit more. Because it was
a way bit more.
Because by the end, I was starting to kind of feel a little bit of the tug that I get when it feels like a writer is starting to speed up and paraphrase the end events of a story because like they want to get the story done. I was starting to feel the pull of that, kind of like the nudgings of that kind of situation. And I feel like we could have gotten a little bit more detail about like what happened in the aftermath of the demon being trapped a bit more. I will partially recommend this story, this part, but I'm still going to actually give this a full recommendation for the trilogy of stories that we got. Like as a whole, I would recommend this series, but this part in particular, I can only give a partial recommendation for. That's my recommendation. So Mikey, the East Ends for Evil.
All right. So the number one issue I had with this was, like I said, having to rewrite or revisualize what I was reading as I was reading it.
Yeah.
A couple times. So that puts it down a couple pegs. I liked that there is a little bit of character growth in the fact that the character realizes after the fact that maybe visiting the museum wasn't a good idea.
Maybe this wasn't a great idea at all. I've made a horrible mistake. No.
At least she was aware of it
eventually. Yeah, at least she grasped that, like even if it was a little too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, I feel like there should have been more hints in the previous one that Bannock was Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely like some weird tension between her and Bannock, but like, just
the way a security guard is.
Yeah, like honestly, like. Legitimately, that's like I honestly painted Bannock as the bodyguard of to reference the Dresden Files. I honestly felt like he just kind of felt like the bodyguard and his attitude and some of that as the bodyguard from of the gangster in the Dresden Files, like the main like gangster or like mafia boss guy from the Dresden Files, like. That character, it's a character type. And that's honestly what it just felt like. It just felt like he was playing, this character was a character type of like the mafia bodyguard or the rich guy's bodyguard.
And he played that role well.
Yeah.
And he was just a very good actor.
Yeah. Also, like, I do feel like it was purposely like giving us a red herring because like she says like, oh, Jameson was 25 like I was. Whereas like the bodyguard seemed to be a lot gruffer, a lot older. And then it's revealed that like, Jameson is young, about 25, because of Eternal Youth from Metaraxis, and Jamie is now 8 years older than he should be because of Metaraxis's like abilities and effects.
For being
yeah, basically he was hotboxed temporally. but yeah, so like it was a clear like it was intentional throw off, but it was like. Again, and like I don't hate the punch in the face I got from the revelation, but like, I can see why somebody might like find like, well, that was kind of cheap. We had no real like, aside from the tension we got in the second story, we don't really get any other clues that like Bannock was actually Jamie.
But again, that's by design because it was meant to be a reveal.
Yeah, it was meant to be it was meant to be a red herring and like a twist. What's a twist?
Yeah. Yeah, and another issue, which I forgot to bring up, is that it mentions that he is Jamie before she acknowledges that it's Jamie.
Yeah, because the first drop of his name is like, Jamie caught me.
Yeah.
And then it describes Jamie. It's like, then she's like, Jamie?
Well, no, because he says, God damn it, Katie. Why do you have to? Because he says Katie, doesn't say Caitlin. So he knew her childhood name, Katie. And that was actually supposed to be like a subtle hint. Like, that was obviously a hint for Katie to realize, wait, Bannock is Jamie.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like I liked the way it was revealed, but like, yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is like, all, for me anyway, all they had to do was say he'd caught me on the way down, like remove Jamie until she's 100% sure, because she says, Jamie, my voice broke over his name. Yeah. Because like until then the character's going like, okay, it is Jamie, not we're given straight up, it is Jamie before the character knows.
Yeah, because she could ask if it's Jamie and he could still say no.
Yeah.
It could not be him. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. It should be revealed on her words, not on the narrator telling us so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with that said, I'm still only going to partially recommend this one. And as a whole, I would probably put all these as a partial recommendation as well.
All right. Yeah, fair. Yeah. Okay. And then Gamer.
Yeah. So in the end, I'm glad that I read this trilogy of stories, honestly, because like they're easy to read and it was fun to follow these characters. That being said, the first story was the only one that held any real creep and fear in it.
Yeah.
Because the more that things got explained, the less creepy and more action horror it became. Car chase and gunfights and all. Metaraxis felt kind of dumb, intelligence-wise, by the end, falling for such an obvious trap with no thought. You think a demon that's been around as long as he has would know a thing or two, but he doesn't. The main supervillain should have been Metaraxis himself, not Jameson, in my opinion. Like, we're reading this story about a demon, and the demon is basically just a puppet of a human, in a way. Meanwhile, he should have been puppeting Jameson the whole time. Like, it making Jameson feel like he's in control, but the demon's actually in control. It's as if Jameson is basically like a lion tamer, and Metaraxis is the lion, you know? Like, he's this dangerous creature, but he has him completely under control, you know? Meanwhile, I feel like it should be more like Metaraxis is using and puppeting Jameson to get what he wants. And like technically he is, since he's like getting some level of worship by being in a museum, but it felt so simple and like low level for how high level this demon is. And like we weren't even, there was no like explanation of why he's going to New York either. Like he could just be going to New York for another museum. He's just going to hang out there and not kill anyone. Just
yeah, like
go to another place.
I think that's legitimately what it was like. If like, this kept going, like
retired basically at this point.
Well, no, basically, he's been forced retired because basically, like in a way, Jameson Scott had everything under control. Like had the demon, and basically was just sacrificing the odd person to it whenever the name came up. The only problem was the next name. The name that came up next was Katie, and Katie's the fucking like wild card in the scenario. Like. Yeah, otherwise, I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you two meddling kids. You two meddling 20-year-olds.
What I don't get, though, and we've kind of lightly brushed on this, is why didn't Jameson just take him back to the church, put him in the basement, and close the door?
Probably like...
If I was going to guess anything, it's what I said before. It's that Jameson's youth is tied to his servitude with Metaraxis. So if he is not serving Metaraxis anymore, he is not youthful anymore, and he will die like he did in Indiana Jones. Referencing another fucking movie. So that's what I assume, but I wish it was said. Because at this point, there are ways that he can get rid of him, especially since freaking Jamie is working for him, and Jamie knows how to get rid of him. So he could suggest sealing him away because he knows the sigils and he knows a good spot to take him, blah, 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 blah. There could have been ways to get around it where he could just be sealed away and not hurting anyone ever again.
Well, actually, here's the thing. I wonder if, did Jameson actually know where the church was? Because Jamie did. No. So no, maybe that's why he didn't take him to the church.
Yeah, but again, if Jameson was, he just got his youth, and his youth is forever, and that's good, and he doesn't need the demon anymore. And Jamie knows this, and he knows that Jameson isn't technically an evil Bond villain. Then he could say, okay, you got your youth, you got what you wanted. I know how we can get rid of him. Follow me. And then he'd put him away and it'd be done forever. But if there's just one line saying, like, I could have gotten rid of him, but I would lose my youth as well and I would die, so I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to keep sacrificing people. That's fine.
Yeah.
If that's the case, but I wish it was said.
Also, I think it could have been clarified that, like, or, like, given that, like, maybe even just, it sort of feels like, it's like a monkey's paw thing, or like a deal with the devil is never going to be cut and dry. There's always going to be a catch. And I feel like that could have been maybe like you were saying, like it could have been clarified a little bit more. Maybe there was like, okay, yeah, he's youthful and it's not like he's youthful, like done, it's one and done sort of thing. But there's always that inkling, and that was that kind of like depraved, like capitalistic sort of like thing that a corporate guy sometimes has, where it's like, well, it's mine now. And I want this power all to myself. And I want to keep using it and abusing it. Sort of thing. But like, so there could have been like some like show that of like the corruption on Jameson. But
yeah. More descriptors would be nice, basically. Yeah. Yeah. As we keep fucking saying.
Honestly, like for this, specifically for this story in particular, like I like that it kept split. Like we got an expansion of the previous story, but this last story, like, really had a lot of like so many more questions than answers.
Yeah, and I think we might be bringing them up more in this one than the previous one, because this is the last one. We're not gonna get any.
Yeah,
we're in the previous story. We could be like, okay, there's one more story to answer things, so it's fine. We'll let it slide.
Yeah, but
yeah, pretty much. But yeah, for this one specifically. Partial. Overall, again, I did enjoy the read, so if you are looking for a thriller-style action pasta that isn't really exactly scary, there's like no gore, no real fear. It
starts off spooky, but then gets, like, starts off kind of like spooky, but then gets, like, more just like sort of a paranormal, like, action-y kind of story. By the
yeah.
End. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not dark, it's not creepy. So if you're just wanting that sort of story, great. Recommendation for sure. As a, what's the term that you use for that? It's not a partial recommendation. It's a,
conditional. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're looking to be scared, just read the first one and you're done.
Yeah.
The first one actually has like good levels of fear in it, of like what happened and the consequences of their actions.
It also doesn't end on like a cliffhanger, really. Like you could just end of the first story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It stands on its own as yeah. Just the first story. If you would prefer to for it to be ending on a more like dreadful and fear covered note, you know.
Yeah,
but the more it goes on, the more action he gets, which is good for some and bad for others. So conditional.
All right. Yeah, I guess for this story, I'm just going to do the recommendation for this story. So partial recommendation and partial recommendation.
I think so.
And then, yeah. So that'll do it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below where this gets posted. We're all on Twitter. Mikey's at the E stands for evil. The Gamer in Yellow is at the Gamer in Yellow, but without that W at the end. That's why you're the Gamer in Yellow on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
Right. but on Twitter, it's at the Gamer in Yellow, but without the W at the end, because his name is very long.
It really is.
And I'm at Review Cultist. Me, Review Cultist, is also on Blue Sky, so you can check me out there. If you'd like to send us emails, you can go to aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldenterigamortis at gmail.com, where you can also leave us suggestions for other creepypastas, SCPs, spooky things. You creep it, we'll peep it. Yeah! And if you'd like to help support our show financially, you can go to Patreon. Select the backer tier you'd like to support us at. We have $2 and $5 tiers with special episodes, early access, extra content. To our patrons that are helping support the show, thank you immensely, because they're helping keep those hosting bills at bay. And as always, we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you immensely, because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void, the yawning maw of Metaraxis, where we then vanish into nothingness and oblivion. And
kind of like being eaten by Kirby, to be honest, when that was described.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Now that I think about it.
Oh my god, now damn it, now Metarax is like voice is just gonna be like, hey.
I recently discovered a metal song that's talking about Kirby like killing everyone.
I mean to be fair, Kirby is a cosmic horror.
He really
is. He's the child of an elder god.
Yes. So,
but anyway, and to the authors of these stories, thank you immensely, because without these stories that you write and post online and share with the people out there in internet land, we really wouldn't have much of a show because we'd have nothing to talk about. Legitimately, this one's up there with one of my favorite like stories. Like the ending did have was a bit shaky, but like the story as a whole, I like. So, and I like, thank you for putting it out there and sharing it with people.
Yeah, it's right up there with Baraska for some reason.
Yeah. Weird. But until next time, I have been your host, Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the East End Fever.
And I've been the gamer in yellow the whole time.
What? And this has been Al Dente Rigamortis. Sleep well.